Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Herb Talk with your hosts, Stefan Brown
and Eliza Trevisano.
We'd like first to inform you, since we will be talking about medicinal herbs, that
the information contained in this program is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to treat, diagnose, or prescribe for any illness. If you have any healthcare concerns, please consult your healthcare professional.
Yahoo! And this session, we're going to talk about the fall and winter seasons ahead and how to deal with your health challenges in those seasons.
Lots of those come up this time of year.
And talk about some of the plants that are out now and things that you can gather and what's going on in the plant and herb world.
Definitely. So, let's see. Allergies. A lot of people coming in with allergies now because the ragweed is in full fantastic bloom.
Right. Which everyone thinks is the goldenrod that makes them sneeze and itch and carry on.
And the goldenrod's actually a remedy for those allergies.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? That goldenrod is the remedy for the exacerbations that ragweed creates.
Yep, and they bloom at the same time.
They bloom at the same time, but there's a big difference here. The big difference is that goldenrod is an insect-pollinated plant, and ragweed is a wind-pollinated plant. Now, as you can imagine, if a plant has an insect come to it, get the pollen, and go off to another plant to pollinate, that you don't need to have as much pollen. If you're a plant, you don't need to produce as much pollen to spread the wealth. But if you're a wind-pollinated plant, you rely on the wind to carry those seeds off to another plant for cross-pollination, and so you need bazillions more pollen than you do if you're an insect-pollinated plant. So, therefore, because they bloom at the same time, all these little ragweed pollens are flying around in the air making you sneeze, but it is not the goldenrod because the goldenrod holds on to its pollen and waits for the little bees and bugs to come and do the pollinating. So that's a big misconception.
You can actually harvest the flowers of the goldenrod. It's the part that you use right now. You can harvest the flowers and make a tea and drink that as a remedy for the
drippy nose, runny nose, sneezing, that sort of thing.
Fabulous things. Everything so... Well, it's drying out now that it's fall, but what a moldy summer it's been on Cape Cod. I think also because we didn't have a really hard winter. You know, there was a lot of mold that vacationed here this winter and just went nuts this summer. Everybody's moldy. Everybody's clothes are moldy. All my furniture's covered with mold. So I'm glad it's drying out a little bit now.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have some drier weather.
So this is the season when most plants ripen their seeds, and it's also the season when after the plant energy has gone into the seed and seed production, and now it's no longer needed, the seeds are all produced, they're ready to fall or be carried away, the energy of the plant goes back down into the ground, into its roots. So this is the season when we want to be thinking about harvesting roots and seeds.
And in harvesting, that's what you always want to take care to notice is where, you know, pay attention to what the plant is doing and where the energy in the plant is most concentrated. So if you're harvesting a plant for leaves, you want to harvest it before it flowers, while all the energy is in the leaves, before it goes into producing the flowers. And if you're harvesting it for flowers, you want to harvest the flowers right when they're in full bloom or just before. And same thing for, you know, for roots and seeds, you want to harvest when the seeds are fully mature, but before they start to fall off, obviously, and roots after all the energy's gone back down into the ground.
Following the seasonal energy of the plant.
Yep.
And that's when you get your maximum medicinal value out of those plants.
Not that you couldn't use them at other times if you had an emergency and needed to dig up some echinacea in the middle of the summer. You'll still get some activity, but not as much. So
now is the time when we want to get prepared for the changing season ahead, when the weather is now starting to get a little bit more nippy, clear, cool air, wonderful, drier air. But that will bring on things, as you know, colds, flus, asthma, bronchitis, winter ills. And probably the most popular herb in America is the plant echinacea, which many, many, many of you are familiar with. A great immune stimulant, very good for when you feel the first sign of a cold, flu, or infection coming on. Load up on that, a good teaspoon of the tincture, or a good
40 strong, cups of tea.
Yeah, strong, strong echinacea tea.
Yep.
And blast a few of those down.
Yep.
Initially, and then do a cup every 3 hours.
Yep.
And if you're doing tincture after your initial or loading dose of a good teaspoon and some juice or water, then think about doing an eyedropper full, about 30 drops, every 2 to 3 hours.
And that's really important. Frequency is really important, especially at the beginning of when you're getting something. Mm. You know, if you take an eyedropper full of echinacea when you feel like you're getting a cold, chances are, there's a possibility it'll do something for you, but chances are it's not going to be enough to kick it. Mm. So don't be shy with the echinacea.
Pound
especially.
It.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, no toxicity, you know, just yeah.
It's very safe herb.
Very safe
Wonderful.
Herb.
Wonderful. It gets a little buzzy in your mouth, a little fizzy, a little stimulating.
Yes,
so,
don't be afraid.
If you do more than an eyedropper of it, that loading dose of a teaspoonful, you've got to put that in some water or juice. Because what I found, when you take a really good, strong echinacea, it will make you, after you take it, you say, oh, wow, that was a buzz. And it makes you want to swallow. And you're constantly trying to swallow to wash it down.
Yeah, yep, it makes it
so strange. Be careful with echinacea if you get a good, strong tincture, especially. Not so much with the tea, but with the tincture.
Just dilute it.
Dilute it.
Yeah, yep,
so
and some juice or water.
So it's a little less impact in your body.
Yep.
And at the same time that you do that, power up with your vitamin C.
Definitely.
The combination of those, your echinacea and your vitamin C, at the very first sign, a little sniffle, you're feeling a little bit off, pound that echinacea and the vitamin C, and oftentimes you'll be able to knock it right out.
Especially if you're feeling like you're getting sick, stop, try and avoid sugar right away, because sugar depresses the immune system. Salt and protein are really good for when you're starting to get sick. So mm-hmm. make yourself some soup, chicken soup, you know, the old standby, and throw 1,000 pounds of garlic in there, you know, whatever you gotta do. That's really good for heading stuff off. Miso is good too. Kind of fortifying foods.
Fortifying.
Is that alliteration or consonants? Oh, my English.
Alliteration.
My
fortifying
English degree.
Foods. F's. Yeah.
Is it? What's yeah. consonants then? Is it consonants?
What's the vowel sound?
Oh,
I don't know.
No. Oh no.
Okay, you literary whizzes out there.
Yeah.
Oftentimes you'll buy golden echinacea with golden seal in it, or you are led to believe that you need to have the golden seal in with the echinacea in order to fight a cold. And that's not true. Golden seal is only added if there is mucous membrane involvement in that. If you have inflamed nasal passages, for example, or a throat, then yes, that's a good idea to add some herb that has the berberine oils in it, which give it that yellow color. And golden seal is certainly a good one, but Oregon grapefruit and
barberry,
berberis is the botanical name on that, are very, very good. And you will find these days that responsible herb manufacturing companies, like ourselves, add both Oregon grape and barberry to the golden seal when you're blending that with echinacea. And this puts less pressure on the golden seal, which is getting a little bit, not scarce, but it's
over-harvested for sure.
Right. The native populations of that have plummeted because of the demand for it. So,
although I heard that somebody went gorilla planting golden seal on Cape Cod this summer. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I wonder who that was. In the springtime, we usually order some golden seal root, and we'll plant it out in the garden. And our little gorilla sitting across from me here went out and planted golden seal around places on the Cape. Yeah, to try to get populations established. You're such a good doobie.
Oh, Chief. Oh, thanks.
But we, at our little organic medicinal herb farm in Brewster, have reached the point of sustainability. We now are growing enough natural golden seal root, organically, of course, that we don't have to buy in anymore. And we can harvest every year now and not deplete our population. And we even, by next year, we'll have enough to sell to people.
Yeah. So if you want some golden seal.
So if you want golden seal, come on down. Oh, Great Cape Herbs. That's who we are. That's our little herb shop in Brewster. You're always welcome to come down. It's right on 6A in East Brewster by the hardware round. Store. But come down and walk through the gardens and learn these plants firsthand. And we'll dig up a little piece of golden seal root and show you the beautiful, beautiful gold color
that it has. Yeah.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Gorgeous, yeah. Such a good herb, such a strong one.
This is Herb Talk with your host, Stephen Brown.
And Eliza Trevisano.
Trying to teach you, hoping to teach you, about some of the indigenous plants that grow around the Cape and others that can be easily planted and grown on the Cape, and how you can use them to make your own herbal medicines.
Now, barberry's native, isn't it?
Barberry, yep, that's a native plant for sure.
Yep.
Very spiny. Must watch out for that one. Woo.
Yeah, very spiny. Tricky to harvest. Yeah.
But it's a very prickly plant. You'll see a lot of it planted in landscape plantings, usually the red-leafed variety, mm-hmm. Berberis vulgaris atropurpurea. Any plant, by the way, that has a botanical name with purpurea in it or atropurpurea usually has red leaves.
Echinacea purpurea.
That refers to the color of the flower.
Yeah. Right.
But the foliage, if the foliage is red, as in a Japanese red maple, or actually there's the copper beech is a purpurea or atropurpurea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Has that in it. So we're here to try to teach you about medicinal herbs. We do invite you to come down to the farm in Brewster anytime during business hours, 7 days a week.
Yep.
And go through the gardens, come into the shop and go into the jars and learn about the herbs, how they smell, how they taste, how they look. And really, it's important to learn your herbs at all seasons of the year, when they first poke up out of the ground and when they're in their maturity and flowering, and then as they die back in the fall. Learning them is what I call building your herbal vocabulary. And that's a lot of different aspects, not just the name, the common name and the botanical name, but the smell, the taste, and all that. So herbs for winter health. What else, Elle? How about the...
Well, we could talk about immunity stew.
Immunity stew. I was just thinking.
Yeah, a lot of stuff you can do food-wise in the winter.
A little cook over there. Well, Lack loves to make soups and stews.
I do like to make true. But yeah, that's a great way to get your herbs in the winter, in the fall and the winter. You know, it's starting to get cold. You want to eat heavier, hot foods and stuff like that. So herbs like astragalus, codenopsis, which is also called poor man's ginseng. It's a Chinese herb. It's very sweet. It comes in sticks, dried sort of sticks. It almost tastes a little like parsnip. And when we make this stuff, we just chuck the whole sticks in there, and then you can eat them afterwards. You know, they'll rehydrate. Very delicious. They give a nice sweet flavor to the soup. Let's see, what else can we throw in there?
Oh, squashes.
Yeah.
Your yellow squashes have all your carotenes in there. Very good for immunity and building your resistance.
Of course, tons of garlic.
Lots of garlic.
And onion. And you know, all of the we talked about this in previous shows, all of the aromatic spices. Anything, you know, high in essential oil, so all the thyme, rosemary, basil, all that stuff, you know, thyme and rosemary, you'll still get some of that. That'll last a while yet, you know, till it gets really cold outside. But just load up on that stuff, because the substances in those they're there to protect the plants, and you get the benefit of those when you ingest them, you know, and they're very antibacterial and antimicrobial and
immune-supporting.
And mushrooms. We were talking about mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, shiitake mushrooms.
Mushrooms are powerhouses of immune-enhancing and anti-cancer. Just fantastic. Really good for lungs.
And yummy flavor.
And, yeah, delicious. So shiitakes, you know, maitakes. Reishi you can use. If you do, you might want to boil it up and then strain it out, because it's pretty
hard. Yeah, pick out
pretty
the pieces
hard.
Of reishi after
and chaga,
you cook the
too,
stew.
You could do. Yeah, just... And if, you know, you can just throw a whole bunch of stuff in there, boil it up, strain it out, and then use the stock. Or if you don't want to be bothered to strain it out, get a muslin bag, you know, or get a piece of cheesecloth and do what the French do. Do the French do that? Thing.
I don't know. Je sais pas.
Just put them all in the
throw
bag.
Throw anything in there.
Yeah, full the muslin bag. Right, only exactly. Just make sure you put the shoes in the bag before you put it in the pot, so you don't have to strain it. And then you just take the bag out after it's simmered for a long time, you know. But that's a nice way to get your herbs.
Oh, another one that we talked about on the way up here is umeboshi plum.
Oh, right.
Paste. It's very, very concentrated extract of umeboshi plum. It's very alkalizing, which is good for to alkalize your blood. Cancer loves acid, and cancer loves sweet. Remember that always. So umeboshi in there, high in vitamin C, and alkalizing. So just a little bit of that in there. You can get that in a tiny jar, usually at a health food store type place, and add a little bit of that to it for flavor also and for its immune-enhancing effect.
Wow. I was just thinking about... Yeah, there's so many things you can do with herbs. We've got a couple of interns at the shop, and Zanzibar made sushi. She made herbal sushi the other day, which was just fantastic. And she took just things you'd never think to put in sushi. You know, it's just like veggie sushi, but avocado and cucumber and stuff like lemon balm and rosemary and mustard greens, nasturtium leaves. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Oh, nasturtium leaves are yummy.
Oh, that's another good immune. Oh, nasturtium.
Yeah, a lot of people know you can eat nasturtium flowers, but you can, to garnish your dish with, but eat the leaves.
Yeah.
They're so yummy.
And so good for immune.
And you'll get
enhancing,
that tingly sensation that you get with echinacea as well.
Yep.
And I think we used nasturtium in our cold hole.
Yeah, we did. It's
our cold tincture formula.
Yep, nasturtium leaf tincture. Right. Leaf tincture, rather. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can go nuts with, eating herbs is, I always harp on this, but you get tired of taking teas and tinctures. Just eat them. Put them in everything. We were driving up here.
Down.
And Stefan was eating. Stefan was eating a croissant, and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be good? We started thinking, oh, chickweed and nettle and cheese croissant. That would be good, So yeah, just get creative. If you like to cook, you can just incorporate herbs in all kinds of ways. Have fun, It doesn't have to be.
Want to remind you that you're listening to Herb Talk. Hear the herb fairies coming. There they are.
With your hosts, Stefan Brown and Eliza Travisano. Wait, I said your name. You should say my name.
Glad you could join us here. Eliza Travisano.
And Stefan Brown. There we go. Excellent. So, yeah. The astragalus sticks. I didn't talk about those.
Astragalus, right.
It's the root of the astragalus. Astragalus membranicus? Membranaceous?
Yeah.
I know how to say that. Yeah. Which is a Chinese herb, fantastic immune-boosting herb. We've talked about astragalus on a bunch of shows. Increases the number of killer cells that the bone marrow, that the stem cells produce. It actually increases the number of killer cells produced in the bone marrow by your body.
It's liver supportive also.
Liver supportive, protective. Lung tonic.
Lung tonic.
Just incredible herb. Antiviral, just amazing.
Great
so
herb.
So sticks of that.
There's sticks that look like tongue depressors.
Yeah.
That, when the doctor presses your tongue down, he'll look at your tonsils.
Yeah.
It looks like that. Throw them into the stew. Now, those will extract while they're in the stew, and you can, after you eat your stew, you can chew on these, but they're still very woody. You won't be able to swallow them. You only chew on them. But the Codenopsis that we talked about earlier does rehydrate and get soft enough that you can cut that up with your fork and eat that whole root
of the Codenopsis. Yeah, it's delicious.
But not the astragalus.
Oh, I forgot to plant parsnips this year. Darn it.
Oh.
Okay, sorry about that.
Oh, that's Eastham. It's famed for the turnips.
Yeah, Eastham turnips.
And eating seasonally, the as I said earlier, the yellow squashes, your turnips and your...
pumpkins and...
all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, nature provided this for us so that we could prepare for the various seasons that we're in.
Miso's another nice one, too. Miso's a really good
miso,
thing to eat in the fall.
Good.
Oh, good to eat year-round, but good alkalinizing, neutral, restorative kind of food. And go ahead.
So, colds. let's get back to the conditions here.
Oh, yeah.
The common cold, echinacea may be able to knock it out if you get it early enough. But if you don't, if you continue taking your echinacea with the berberine herbs in it, if it involves the mucous membranes, that should shorten the duration and intensity of the cold, even if it doesn't knock it right out. And very important to keep these natural protocols going. And certainly antibiotics have no place in treating the common cold. And
forget about that one.
Yeah.
So herbs that we use for that are, we have a formula called cold hold and snuffle muffle. Oh, God, we're so... that has mullein in it also. A common weedy herb that grows around the Cape, has big, wide, fuzzy, bluey-green leaves and a tall stalk that has little yellow flowers on the top. That's a mullein. That will help to decongest and strengthen the lungs. And also, nettle is in there, one of our all-time favorites, which will decongest your sinuses. I believe we put the goldenrod in there to stop the drippy nose effect, and marshmallow to soothe the respiratory system. Now, if that cold starts to descend into the lungs and creating bronchitis, we have a very powerful Native American herb called bloodroot that we add to that formula, and also add two other herbs called pleurisy root, which, or butterfly weed, many people know it as. It's got a few blooms left now, but it was in full bloom a month ago. Gorgeous, bright orange blooms that the bees and butterflies adore. So that's pleurisy root, first cousin to milkweed. So you'll see the milkweed-like pods on it, only they're a little smaller. And excuse me, the other herb that we use in that optimum lung formula is elecampane. Elecampane has big, wide elephant ear eat leaves like a burdock plant does.
Or comfrey, too. Looks kind of like
comfrey.
Comfrey
has big leaves, too. Yeah. And the root of that, very, very good, not only for strengthening and decongesting the lungs, it thins and helps to expectorate the mucus, but it is also quite antibacterial.
Mm-hmm.
So that combination for the lungs, the optimum lung type combination, is very, very good if the common cold begins to descend into the lower respiratory tract, into your lungs.
And, you know, just a note, something you can do also to lessen the amount of, you know, maybe colds and flus and stuff like that in the winter. If you incorporate essential oils into your house cleaning, that helps a lot. Like lavender, I do some house cleaning. And when I do, I always use stuff like lavender and peppermint, eucalyptus, pine, essential oils. And what you're doing is, you know, it's just, they're super antibacterial, antimicrobial, but not in the ways that some other commercial things, which can help to create or which contribute to creating resistant strains of bacteria.
Right.
You know, it's a safe way to disinfect things and, you know, purify the air a little bit and stuff. And then you're breathing those in, you're breathing in the essential oils and just kind of giving your body a little boost as well. So that's just something else you can do, you know, or when it's winter and all the windows are closed and you're all families in your house, you know, breathing the same stale air and that kind of thing. Just clean it up a little bit.
And you might consider doing a fall cleansing too, a detoxification.
Yeah.
You get the body and the liver and the organs really tuned up.
Yep.
And there is your dandelion root, your burdock root, sarsaparilla root. Very, big, very good. Tea or tincture.
Wow, I can't believe I just realized that we can harvest the roots in either the spring before the leaves start to come up or in the fall when the leaves die, and that's when you do detoxes, spring and fall.
I
can't believe I never thought of that before. I am in shock.
Oh, bells go off.
This is how it is with herbs. Just goes on and on and on. And you think, oh, I hope it never stops. And you know it never will stop. It's just the best. Oh, you're herb nerds. Anyway.
So a fall detox, good. Do a little, maybe a 2 or 3 day juicing fast.
Yep.
Get your champion juicer out or whatever juicer you use and get your carrots and beets and broccoli stalks and garlic and onions run through there.
Ginger.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
You know, that's what else I wanted to say. Oh, I'm sorry. Finish saying what you're saying.
Yeah, run that through your juicer and do a few cups of that a day for a few days. Clean you right out. Get that liver feeling tip top.
Yep.
Get you detoxed.
We've got a nice... Oh, a nice coffee substitute called Dandy Blend.
Oh, the Dandy Blend.
Yeah, which is made by, this guy out in Ohio makes it. But it's dandelion, beetroot, chicory, barley, and rye. There's no gluten in it. It's really good. I've been drinking it every day.
Yummy.
It's really delicious. And that's a nice one, too, just if you want to add a little extra dandelion to your diet, which is never a bad idea, you know. It's full of potassium salts, really feeds the liver, and good for bile production, good for digestion, good for...
Eat your dandelions.
Exactly. Oh man, I'm such a
eat your dandelions.
But yeah, that's a nice thing to add too. And now let's see. Oh dear.
Getting close here. Wrap up time. So, I guess what we want to get across to you is prepare for this winter season ahead. You lose one day of work, and you've already lost four times whatever you would have to pay for a bottle of echinacea tincture, for example, or a tea. So
right. And the herbs are cheap.
Don't skimp on the herbs. Get out there and do them. If you grow them yourself, it's for free.
It's free.
If you go to a store like ours or to the health food store and buy your echinacea or your cold care products and your vitamin C, it's well worth the investment.
And yeah, you can spend $20 on bulk herbs and have enough for immunity.
Yeah,
for
you
the
lose
winter.
One day of work, it's darn sight, more than $20, you know, get with the program, get out there and get healthy, but even better, grow them yourself.
Yeah, that's the best.
And if you don't know them and want to learn about them, come on down to the farm in Brewster. We're right by the True Value Hardware, Great Cape Herbs. It's right on Route 6A, easy to find. Go through the gardens with us, learn what the plants are. Take some plants home with you to plant in your garden and get your own ones started.
Rap about herbs, our favorite subject.
And we'll tune in with you in another week or two.
Yep.
And bring you some more information about how you can grow and use and collect your own herbs for your herbal medicine, the world's oldest medicine. Thanks so much for listening.
Enjoy
the
fall.
See you next time. Bye-bye. There are the herb berries.